I love it when somebody who's had it coming for a long, long time gets it right between the eyes.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 30. Jesus. Devil with the G-String On. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah G. Bunting.
Dave, don't worry. It's about a guitar. No, it's not. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Before
Care
we get
to join
into...
me in the champagne room?
I mean, if you're there, I guess I'm there too. So, yes.
Yay.
speaking of tips, a note about our upcoming Patreon episodes. Episode 22, dropping November 6th. We're going to be talking about the 1992 Rolling Stone cover story on Beverly Hills 90210. I had forgotten how meaty this thing is. It really... It's long and substantial, so we're going to be talking about that. If you have a subscription to Rolling Stone, it is still online. Otherwise, I'm sure you can find it places. And then episode 23 will be dropping November 13th, and we're giving you advance notice because we're going to be talking about the series premiere of Models, Inc. This is online. You can find it places, but you really have to look hard. Wink. We're not going to tell you how, but if you know, you know. So that's where to, that's what to be aware of for our upcoming episodes. So,
well played.
Yeah. Join us at patreon.com/againwiththis for our discussions of those two episodes on November 6th and November 13th. Sarah, shall we discuss Devil with the G-String On and Scandalize Dave, apparently?
As long as we don't have to say the title again, yes, let's
okay.
do it.
This isn't supposed to be miserable.
Thank you, Allison.
Shut up, Eeyore.
Let's start with our C-plot. Sydney tries to settle her debts on the pole. It is Sydney's first shift at the club. She's basically in a slutty Charlie Chaplin Halloween costume. Sarah, would you agree? It's
like, yeah. Okay. Or like... stripper cabaret.
Yeah. There's a bowler hat.
Sally, sexy bowls.
Yes. Yeah.
She looks cute.
She does, of course. Apparently all the new girls start on the lunch shift. She is to lose her top on the first number and the bottom on the second. She seems to have no conflict or hesitation about this at all and is just ready to get out and start earning in her sad little bowler hat. Clip two.
And now presenting the Body Stocking's latest edition, the very pert and lovely. What do you want to be called? Your stage name.
Jane.
Just Jane? Gentlemen, I give you the very wild and weird Jungle Jane.
Jungle Jane?
Yeah.
I mean, her next outfit, it makes sense.
Yes.
But... this is not that outfit.
No.
I just love that she's like, I don't know, Crystal. Wait, Jane.
Yeah.
So predictable. So I love good. Sydney.
Yes. Yeah, so the lunch crowd starts whooping it up for her immediately, as who wouldn't? And Laura Layton doesn't really do a lot, but it works on me. I have to say she's good. Meanwhile, in totally unrelated news, Michael is planning Billy's bachelor party to make sure Billy's... super horny for it, I guess. Allison decides to seduce Billy in her extremely virginal white bra before sending him out of the town several nights from now. I don't know. This seems like a poor excuse to make Courtney Thorne Smith take her top off, which, whatever, fine.
Yeah. Also, is she still in therapy with Felicity's dad?
Yeah, dunno. Hasn't come up in a while. Good question.
And I guess sex fast is definitely a you know what? Who cares?
Soap.
Much plot to be chewed through between now and
yep.
events.
Yep. So in classic TV style, the bachelor party is Billy, obviously, Michael, Jake, poor Matt, Chaz, for no possible fucking reason that makes any sense. Like, has he met Billy that we know of? No. And his fiance hates Chaz. Like, why would he be there?
Yeah.
And a bunch of Jews. And then we've
there's
never
also
seen.
Someone else. Yeah. I'm frankly surprised that, like, David, Steve,
right.
Bruno, Tony Marchette's bodyguard, isn't right. there? Like, Jesus Christ, guys. Right. Really?
Yeah. Like, why isn't Celia there from The Office? Yeah. Why isn't Nancy there?
Why do
there?
Billy and Michael even still know each other? Like, right. Michael's been siloed away from that whole complex for, like, weeks now. Whatever.
Yep. So, obviously, it's at a strip club, as previously noted. Michael toasts to Billy Campbell, condemned man, as though he is not himself currently on his second consensual engagement, third overall. Billy's response, clip three.
All I can say is that you guys are a bunch of degenerates.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no Tory Spelling, but that was fairly convincing drunken slurring. Well played, Andrew Hsu.
It also sounds like some of it went up his nose, which I appreciate. I mean, I do feel the degenerate line shouldn't apply to poor Matt, who's just there to be a good sport, but whatever. Then it's time for Jungle Jane's introduction, and good for her. She got moved to primetime already, and out comes Sydney, this time in a leopard print getup. And recognition that it's her kind of ripples through the party, but it's not until after she throws her bra at him that she realizes Michael is there, whereupon she, like, covers up with her hands and, like, takes off backstage, and the manager fires her, and Michael, running after her, calls that a wise choice, which is pretty funny. And outside, Sydney is embarrassed, and Michael is wasted in clip four.
Come on. Stay away from me.
Come on, Sid, be a sport.
So what? It's not enough for you to see me this way, humiliated, having to take a job like this, and you have to come out here and throw salt in the wound.
Heck no, Sid, you were great. I mean it. You were a real class act. Here's your tip, sweetheart. You earned every penny.
That was totally Calabro, too.
Completely. Oh. That's him putting the bra on her head and then, like, pointing and laughing as he leaves. And there is
so sad. Like, yeah. Here's the thing about Sydney. I mean, I love her and I love Leighton's performance, but mm-hmm. like, she has no fun trying to be a badass, which is yep. why it doesn't work.
No, it's true.
Yeah. Also, the little, like, tiger cub ears that she has on with her outfit are not uncute. Like, she also has this, like, retro sort of, like, backcombed bump flip yeah. hairstyle with it.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's part of a stripper costume, but it's still mm-hmm. cute.
Well, she looks like she could be in Josie and the Pussycats. Like, she's adorable.
Yes.
Yes.
And should be. Mm-hmm. Please get a real job in a fictional band, right. Sydney. We're all rooting for you.
We were all rooting for you. It's true.
We were.
So some other night, Sydney, not in a leopard print getup, goes to meet Lauren at a bar where Lauren appears to be surrounded by a bunch of her girls. She greets Sydney by saying she hopes Sydney's not there to try and steal clients. In fact, Sydney's there to ask for her old job back. Lauren makes a hilarious what the fuck face at this. Sydney reminds her that Lauren once told her she was the best girl Lauren ever had, and Lauren calls out an order. Martini for the best girl Lauren ever had. And when it comes, they toast to the only thing Sydney will ever get from Lauren, that drink, because she doesn't deal in tramps. And Sydney, of course, then throws said drink in Lauren's face and gets hauled out by Lauren's goons, Lauren laughing and calling after her that she still owes Lauren $5,000. And outside, Sydney's fighting with her shoes when a guy in a Mercedes convertible pulls up and offers $200 for her to go to a motel around the corner with him. And glaring, she tells him he's getting a hell of a deal, but she does get in the car. Oh, Sydney.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. I kind of thought that was going to be a martini for the best girl she ever had, and then she just gives it to a different girl who's standing there, but this was also good.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of felt like, I mean, you know, you have to throw the drink. That's like mm-hmm. a soap opera rule.
Of course.
But like, you know, you have no money. Take a sip at least.
Right. Yeah.
Split the difference somehow. Like, mm-hmm. you know, drink half, throw half. No?
That should be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
On to the B plot. Sarah's and Hillary's shitty boyfriends ruin a bunch of lives, but Allison gets blamed. Once again, not our Sarah, Sarah the model from Models, Inc. All of the Melrose Place neighbors plus Sarah, who managed to change her clothes at some point, are loitering around the hospital waiting room for news on Joe. And then we then cut to her room where only Jake is with her. She's awake and frustrated that no one will tell her anything about her condition. And Jake takes her hand as he says, sure they will when they know anything definite. She notes the irony that just as soon as she's accepted the reality of her pregnancy, it might end. But then the extremely sexy for the 90s doctor comes in and says that everything seems fine and she's relieved. Like, he's excessively sexy, so much so that it's like, well, he's got to be a plot point later. But no, it's just like a really good looking doctor that's in one scene and then leaves. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I mean, I wasn't mad, thanks, buddy. But it's just weird.
Yeah.
So they're going to keep her overnight for observation, which should be no problem for a self-employed freelancer who probably has terrible health insurance, if any. But anyway, then the doctor leaves and Jake hugs Joe. And out in the waiting room, Amanda finally shows up and gets the no report report from Billy, just in time for Jake to come out and announce that mother and baby will be fine. Sarah wants to be the first one to see her because why shouldn't it be the person who's known Joe for a week? Then Billy and Allison head out, Allison quietly saying she'll see Amanda at work. And Amanda explains that she's mainly there to drive Jake to the dock since she knows he has a charter today. Clip 5.
I canceled it. I figured I'd stay here today.
If you really think that's necessary.
She doesn't have anyone.
Really lousy excuse, Jake. You know it.
What?
I mean, she just sounds like too depressed to care.
Yeah.
It's just like, but since, I mean, do you think this relationship is already over because you Frenched Miami Chaz? What is your, I think what you said in the last episode is exactly right. There's just like too much shit going on right now and the mm-hmm. writers kind of have lost the handle.
Yeah.
Rare, again, for them. Like, even when things are soapy or annoying, at least they're, like, internally coherently soapy or annoying. And
yes.
This is just really frenetic and
right.
Bad.
Like, it was not so long ago that Amanda was in the hospital losing a pregnancy. Like, for her to be this cold is not consistent.
Yeah.
Even for her. Like, she's a bitch, but, like, there's a line, you know? Like, there's a line.
Yeah.
Anyway, outside, Billy asks Allison what the deal is between her and Amanda now, as though there isn't just simmering animosity between them all the time. And Allison swears him to secrecy before spilling about Chaz. Like, it's been a night and a morning, and she hasn't told him this either? What the fuck? Again, what the fuck? Problems of communicating information between people who are dating. So she finally gets around to telling him about seeing Chaz and Amanda kissing the previous day. Clip 6.
I don't know what's going on. If this is Amanda's way of getting back at her mother, if she really has the hots for Chaz, I just keep obsessing about Jake. He's the one getting screwed over here, and he has no idea.
Yeah, and he's not gonna have any idea. You can't tell anybody about this. Amanda will kill you or Jake. Remember what happened when he found out about Amanda and me?
You don't understand. Chaz saw me. He knows I was watching.
So, play dumb. Tell him you wear contacts and you didn't have them in.
I just keep thinking, poor Jake. He doesn't deserve this.
Well, you made me swear, now I'm making you swear. Not a word about this to anybody, especially Jake. Swear.
Okay, I swear.
Good. End of discussion.
Unless someone brings it up first.
I don't know about this. I mean, I don't think that Allison has any obligation to say anything to Chaz, but the Amanda and Jake aspect of it, like that part of it, I don't buy her just sitting on it.
In that you don't think she should or that you don't think she would?
I don't think she would.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, I do like, unless someone brings it up first, because as we'll see, she keeps trying to lead people there.
Yeah. But, and then it just blows both her hands off, as we'll see. But oh my God,
yeah.
Like all of this is so satisfying because like she doesn't deserve to get all the blame for this, but she's such an Eeyore
she's
about
so
it.
Annoying.
It's kind
exactly.
of fun to watch.
Yep, exactly. So Amanda enters her office to Chaz waiting for her so that he could dramatically turn around in her chair and greet her as Mandy. She curtly tells him he has no business being there and she doesn't plan to talk to him about their canoodling the day before. But he wants to, since it's all he can think about. She reiterates there's no need to rehash it. And so in that case, he'd like to talk about what's going to happen, which she says is nothing since he's engaged and she's dating Jake. From now on, their relationship will be confined to business only. And he says she's the boss. And Heather Locklear does truly some of the best acting of her career, pretending to look conflicted as this guy smarms past her because, as we have said in detail, he is not appealing.
No. Mm. Like him?
Yeah, exactly. So after a client meeting in which they all participated, Amanda leaves Chaz and Allison alone to report back to Bruce. And Chaz then asks if Allison's going to act like she didn't see anything the previous night. And she's like, exactly. It is none of my business. So he starts spinning. Clip 7.
I didn't plan it. In fact, it's the strangest thing that's ever happened to me. This woman, Amanda, she's got the screw loose or something.
This is none of my business.
One second we're talking, and the next thing I know, she's all over me. And then we're down on the floor doing it right where you're standing. I don't know if it's some campaign to get back at her mother or what, but I don't know. She practically raped me. I tried to tell her it wouldn't be right because of Hillary and that Jake guy. But she said whatever they don't know won't hurt him. And now she's trying to pretend like nothing even happened?
Chaz, it's unfortunate what I saw. But I don't care about the rest. I'm just trying to do my job.
Hey, try being me. Every time I'm alone with her, I feel like she's going to pounce.
Good night, Chaz.
Okay. It's at this point that Allison should be like, something is not right about this story, and go to Amanda for sure and say, you need to know what this guy is saying about you, whether or not it's true, because I don't buy it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. First of all, she's tiny. Second of all, you're you.
Yeah.
No. And third of all, what is this Frank Stallone accent we're doing today?
Mm-hmm.
Who is this douche?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hashtag no more Chaz.
Seriously. So obviously Allison's in a hurry to get the fuck out after that. So much so that even Amanda notices that Allison is flustered. And then Amanda and Chaz exchange a look as they watch Allison walk out. The next day, Jake helps Joe up the stairs at the apartment while Sarah carries her suitcase, Joe re-expositing that she and the baby are fine. Sarah took a few days off of work, and Jake immediately starts taking throw pillows off the couch to make room for Joe, but she tells them both she's fine. And when Joe goes into the kitchen, Jake tells Sarah that the cops still haven't found Hank, so does she have any idea where he might have gone after he checked out of his hotel? Like, would that not be the first question the cops would have asked her? But she guesses back to Iowa. Jake doesn't think he would leave without Sarah. So pressed to think harder, Sarah remembers a place he went to play pool. Oh, the one pool hall in L.A. That's where Dylan used to go.
Will John Grease be there?
Seriously. And it's also so funny that they give this guy pool as an affectation and then they send him to do it somewhere that isn't Shooters, but they do. But anyway, she says the name of the place and Jake knows where it is. He's heading out. Sarah wants to come too, but Jake tells her to stay and look after Joe. Like, if the issue is that you think Hank isn't going to leave town without Sarah, maybe, like, stay with her in the one place that Hank knows she's probably going to be. You know, just a thought. I mean, he doesn't show up, but that's what I would do.
Yeah, well, and, like, if they're casting this as, like, being afraid that Hank is going to come back and fuck her up, but
right.
Since he's just out shooting stick, like, why not just stay home and mind your own collective businesses?
Exactly.
I don't, I mean, here we are again. Like,
right.
It's very soapy, but also, like, very first drafty.
Yep. So Jake is on his way to find Hank when he runs into Amanda in the courtyard. It is now Hillary's birthday, and Chaz suggested another reconciliation dinner.
I know how passionate you've been in that area, so I thought you might like to come along. It's tonight at 7 o'clock at the Bel Air Racquet Club, if you don't have any other plans.
Why don't I meet you there? I have some things to take care of.
So long as one of those things isn't Joe.
You could be a little more understanding.
I could be a lot more understanding, but where would that get me? See you tonight.
Yikes.
I mean, again, this is just like a very downbeat, dark, like these line readings from Lockley are just very, they're just like, I guess I could try to be a better person, but I'll just sit here in the dark.
Right. Like,
What is happening in your mind to this character?
Right.
Anyway.
Like, quit subjecting him to all of these tests. Like, if you already think he's failing, just end it. Like, I don't know why she's not. Anyway.
Because he's Grancho.
Oh, but, sure. That's okay. Mean, great point. Know. Great point. I guess I do know.
Yeah.
In their apartment, Billy catches Allison spying out the window, trying to make sure she avoids running into Amanda because she's freaking out about what she knows about her and Chaz. Billy notes that she only has Chaz's word on him and Amanda having an affair, which, good point. And stupid Allison can't even fathom why Chaz would lie about such a thing because she's dumb. Jake is apparently just about to leave this pool hall when Hank comes in wearing his Iowa high school jacket and is already enough of a regular to be greeted by name by some other chode who's there. Jake comes in hot. Clip 9.
Hank, right?
Do I know you?
You do now. I'm a good friend of the woman you pushed down the stairs the other night. Just want you to know that the woman and the baby she's carrying are both fine.
Are you a cop?
No, I'm not. They're looking for you. It's a good idea. You're checking out of your motel quick like that. I'm here to suggest you check out of L.A.
Yeah, well, I'll have to think about that. Is that the best you can do?
Why don't you put down that pool cue and we'll settle this like gentlemen. LAPD's on its way. I just want to make sure I got to you first.
Piece of carrots. Rhubarb! I mean, I think the MVP we might have heard is the extras at the pool hall.
At eight ball? Is that what it was called? I didn't write it down. Because who cares? At not shooters. At the racket club, Amanda and Chaz have arrived for their dates and are sitting at the bar flirting about their kiss the night before while they wait. And then Hillary walks in with another woman that Amanda says looks familiar. Chaz exposits that she's on the cover of Cosmo this month. She's Terry Stevens, Hillary's top girl at Models, Inc. He didn't know that Hillary was going to bring her. Amanda shrugs that she's a substitute daughter, and Chaz says they all are. Get it? Cut to the table.
Ew.
Where Terry, Stephanie Romanov, is bitching about doing a bikini shoot sitting on a block of ice. Chaz and Amanda come over to the table and clip 10.
Amanda! Oh, what a delightful surprise. Well, I thought... I'm not sure what I thought after our little fight the other night.
Chaz felt I should come. I didn't know it would be a surprise. Anyway, happy birthday, Mother.
I'm sorry. Darling, I'd like you to meet Terry Stevens. Terry, my daughter, Amanda.
How do you do?
You're even more beautiful in person. I'm sure everybody tells you that.
Sit. We'll get you a drink, and then I can get a full report on how Chaz is doing at work. According to him, he's already in line for vice president.
Oh, yes. He's very good at what he does. Sometimes too good for his own good.
Stop.
No, he isn't. He's a skid.
He's so gross.
Spray it with Shout and put it in the washing machine. Do it now.
I mean, then Amanda looks over to the entrance and sees Jake in his giant slacks bickering with the maitre d' and goes over to rescue him because she should have said something. There's a dress code and Jake isn't wearing a tie. She takes the loner tie from the maitre d' and quietly says he'll wear it, pulling Jake aside. But will he? Because before she can tie it on him, she sees a big bruise on his cheek. Clip 11.
Oh, don't tell me. More defending of Joe? Must be wonderful, having her own private Lancelot.
It was as much for Sarah as it was for Joe.
You know, Jake, I am the least possessive person you'll ever know, but this is ridiculous. If I carried on this way, you'd be furious.
I can have my own friends, you know.
Fine, have them. Just don't let them fall in love with you. Now, can we go to the party?
Enjoy your dinner, Amanda. I stay out of clubs that would never have me as a member.
Hey, I was right.
What do you know?
Also, like, a loner tie. I mean, Jake at the maitre d' stand before she comes over is like, this is L.A., and which, like, good point, it is. It's like the 1990s. God.
I know.
Anyway.
But it's a place with, like, a pianist, apparently. Right. So.
Yeah. I mean, Terry looks like she's in a fucking evening gown still.
Yeah.
It's also a racket club. Like, calm down, everybody. Anyway, speaking of Joe, she and Sarah are looking for a gigantic pile of prints from the Entangled shoot. Sarah boringly yammering about how seeing herself in photos, she wonders if she really can do it. And Joe puffs her up. Sarah blahs on about the dream of getting to the top of her industry like the illustrious Terry Stevens. And Joe assures her some more that Sarah is very special. And then the phone rings and it's Hank because, sure, Joe's number is totally listed now, even though I'm pretty sure like it was a plot point that it wasn't because of Charles before. Mm. He's calling from the bus station to tell her he's leaving town and wanted to say goodbye. Sarah can go ahead and try and have a career, but he's pretty sure she'll be home soon, begging for forgiveness. And she's silent long enough for him to check that she's still there. And then he yells that he'll tell everyone how well she's doing and hangs up. And Sarah is sad. But then she has an epiphany about how everyone back home thought she was so lucky because he was the coolest guy in high school, but he ain't shit. I mean, she doesn't say that part, but it's implied. And then she cries and Joe hugs her. And then Hillary later finds Amanda at D&D after hours in a completely bizarre sweater. Did you get a good look at this thing? It's got like a gather in the front and a tie in the back and like a clip. I mean, obviously you can see this in the visual aids. This is on Amanda and is a very non-Amanda garment. It's crazy.
Yeah, I just don't understand. It's like they were trying to like... Like they put on a men's sweater on her and then they were trying to like gather it.
Yeah.
But why? Right. Anyway.
So she says to Hillary, meticulously preparing for a meeting the next day. Hillary says she's actually there to get Chaz, but then she heard he left early because he's at this bachelor party for, as we already said, no reason that makes sense. And instead of getting into that, Hillary changes the subject. Clip 12.
You know, I don't think I told you, but thank you for joining us the other night. Terry just loved you. She's been with me forever, you know. She and her sister Carrie, well, I practically raised them.
You're really into hands-on management, aren't you, Mother?
Oh, I guess it's more of that meticulous preparation.
So tell me something. How did Chaz slip through the cracks?
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, I'm asking, how well do you really know him?
Very well, or as well as I need to. Like you, I have devoted the better part of my life to my career. The rewards have been huge, but they haven't always been satisfying.
So Chaz comes along and it's what? Chance to feel young again?
Mandy, we love each other.
He's 10 years younger, Mother.
12, actually. But no one other than you is counting.
I just think if you end up hurt by him, it won't have been worth it.
That won't happen, Amanda.
I hope not.
It really sucks that Chaz is the worst because 12 actually is such a flex.
It really is.
Oh, well.
And she knows it, too. She's just like, 12, actually.
Yep.
So, yeah. Good for you. Good for you, Hilsey. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I do feel like a woman who has been, who we have been told is this like savvy and hard charging, would have smelled something rotten in Chaz Mark by now.
Oh, 100%.
Because if he hurts you, that she'd just be like, And then she'd start having him followed because she's supposed to be a badass.
Right. Come on. Yep. Over to Joe's. She and Allison are playing cards. Sarah little sistering that Jake is the perfect guy and he and Joe are the perfect couple. Joe just glares at her while Sarah refuses to accept her denials about it. And when Sarah goes back into the kitchen, Allison agrees with Sarah that Joe and Jake should get back together. Joe admits that she has been wondering about what could or should have been, but that it doesn't matter since they both know how faithful he is. Bitch, he just tried to kiss you in the last episode, but okay. But Allison, despite having sworn Billy to secrecy on her gossip, is obviously thinking about spilling some tea. Clip 13.
Yeah, but can we say the same thing about Amanda? I mean, I once lost Billy to Amanda, and now we're engaged. In my mind, Jake and Amanda are not a done deal. I mean, heck, just a shove. One little shove.
In my condition, please, I'm not about to do any shoving. Look, any opportunity I had with Jake is gone, and I just have to accept that.
Okay.
But, I mean, lady, you killed the father of your child, who was an international drug smuggler.
Yeah.
If Jake wants to bone you and put a ring on it, do it.
Yeah, that's A. B, hey, Allison, maybe don't talk about little shoves when Joe just got back from the hospital after being shoved down the stairs outside her apartment today. Maybe.
And also was in an abusive relationship with her drunk ex-husband and also had to shoot the father of her child for kidnapping her and stuffing her in the hold of his boat.
Yeah.
For raising.
Mm-hmm. After the bachelor party, which is like oozed all over the episode's many storylines, Jake dumps a very drunk Billy on the couch at his place and then asks Allison if she's seen Amanda, which she has not. And they have this exchange, clip 14.
Yeah, I've been calling her all night, no answer. I guess she had to work late.
You were so amazingly trusting.
Why shouldn't I be?
Don't worry, Chaz was with us the whole night.
Can I explain that? What's he talking about?
I can't.
Go ahead, you're dying to.
Billy, I swear to God.
What is this?
I saw something at work between Chaz and Amanda. They were, kissing. And then they closed the blinds. It was after hours and...
In her office?
No, in the conference room. Today, Chaz indicated, he said, that it wasn't exactly innocent. It got pretty heavy. Look, I didn't want to get involved, but now that you know, I'm glad you know. She's just not right for you. Jake, wait!
Stay out of this.
Do it, Billy. I love that. You're dying to. Attaboy.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Jake storms up to Amanda's apartment, outs Allison as the source of the news. Gee, thanks, dude. And demands to know if Amanda slept with Chaz. She immediately denies it. Jake does not seem convinced and also doesn't follow up and ask, well, did you kiss him? So that she, you know, cannot not deny that. And Amanda's disgusted that he believes Allison over Amanda, and he shrugs, and Amanda calls him a bastard and kicks him out. And the next day, she storms into the very crowded bullpen at D&D and in front of everyone, stomps straight up to Chaz, and clip 15.
You're fired.
Fired?
You are a pathetic, sick excuse for a man. And if my mother wants you so badly, she can have you and all the crap that comes with you. You have 5 minutes to pack up and be gone, or I call security.
So then she goes to the conference room.
All set for the presentation.
You deliberately destroyed my relationship with Jake. Without coming to me, without asking for an explanation, you took Chaz's word, shaped it into a very long knife, and plunged it into my back. Of all of your neurotic, stupid, ill-timed antics, this is the worst.
I only said...
Shut up. Shut up and listen to me. Chaz is gone. He's fired. And my first instinct was to fire you as well. But on reflection, I realized that's way too easy. No, Allison, I'm going to do you the way you did me. And when I'm done, all you'll be left with is that proverbial wish that you'd never been born. Now, I believe we have clients waiting.
Yeah!
What you can't see, although there is a GIF in the visual aids, is that while Amanda is giving Allison this dressing down, she's like walking, backs her up like to the wall.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. And like,
yeah, my notes, I like started writing the like sound drop, like the clip cues, and then I just have in brackets, eat it Eeyore, because it's not like you weren't going to clip it anyway. So I was just like, Amanda.
Yeah. So also, good. Like, Allison, why she would be like, all ready for the meeting. Like, you know what Jake was doing. You know that you're going to be in deep shit. Like, this would not be the attitude that she would be greeting Amanda with. She would know, she would be braced for impact.
Yeah. Not to mention that that's like 15 times cheerier than we ever see her anyway. So, yeah. It's just very weird.
It is weird. But, I mean, it was worth it for that payoff. God, it was so good.
Sure was.
So, Joe is making herself coffee when Jake lets himself in and leans. Love the way he leans. She comments
leans
that
great.
She feels, yep, she feels great after a good night's sleep. When he doesn't respond, she asks if something's on his mind, and he says that he saw her in the hospital. When he saw her in the hospital, he had a feeling, and it's over between him and Amanda. But even if it was still going on, he would still feel his way about Joe. And by now, he's closed the space between them. And while she looks very worried with her arms crossed and her coffee protectively in front of her boobs, she walks into the living room. Clip 16.
Joe, come on.
Don't do this to me.
You're the only person I can really talk to. With everyone else, I feel like I'm just putting on this show.
You can't just come in here and say these things.
I did. I am.
Amanda isn't just gonna go away.
This doesn't have anything to do with Amanda. It has to do with you and me. Damn, I hate having to do all this talking.
But don't.
Let Pearl Jam with two M's do the talking. Oh my God.
It's Pearl P-U-R-L, like in knitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate how much I love them, but this is so sweet. Like, they don't even kiss, they just hug. Like, it's so sweet and pure.
I'm sorry. Know.
It's very
sweet. It is. I mean, I have my issues with how they're handling her, just like the fact of her pregnancy. Like, on the one hand, it's sort of interesting that they're just trying to proceed with it, but I don't know, maybe give her a pregnancy pad?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps. Something.
Acknowledge that she shot Reed and was in jail for a while. But, you know, here we are in the home stretch. So let's see what happens.
Finally, the A plot. God bless it. Kimberly commences ruining Michael's life for real. At the hospital, Kimberly's wrapping up a shift when Michael comes in. She heard the good news about Joe, but he doesn't even pretend to care about that. Clip 17.
Oh, yeah, and why is good news always followed by bad news? For weeks, I bitch and moan for a profit loss statement from Jane's company. But when she finally messengers it over, it shows nothing but red ink, loss after loss, when I know she's doing better than that.
You never were very good at numbers. Let me have a look.
That's right. Daddy was an accountant.
An inherited talent. I've got a nose for discrepancies.
Do you actually think she'd cheat on these figures?
With anyone else, no. With you, most assuredly, yes. I'll tell you what. Why don't you go back to your rounds and leave the ex-Mrs. Mancini to me?
Which one? Could you narrow it down? The blonde one?
The one from Chicago? No, that doesn't help. I love the idea that, like, accountancy can be passed on genetically. But sure,
listener, it can't.
The next time we see her, Kimberly is surprising Jane at the studio with the ledger and acting totally casual and friendly, even though this is the first time the two have interacted since Kimberly came back from the presumed dead. But, you know, it devolves quickly. Clip 18.
I know. I should have called first. Is there someplace private we could talk?
Jane, you've done very well for yourself. Look at this place. I can see career girl life really suits you.
Aren't those the statements that I sent to Michael?
Oh, he asked me to look at them. He was concerned by the amount of red ink, so I did some calling to the stores you're doing business with, and they say they've ordered in some cases as much as 4 times the amount indicated in your statement. Now, I could yell embezzlement unless you'd like to cop to an accounting error. Admit it, Jane, you've been up to a little creative accounting, haven't you?
No. But it sounds like you've been taking Sydney lessons. Or is that what happens to anyone who gets close to Michael?
You owe my fiancé money.
If there's an error, I will look into it.
This is not an error. This is a deliberate act of deception. Take care of it, Jane. Don't, and I'll be seeing you in court.
I mean, we're supposed to think Kimberly's losing it, but, like, it is a deliberate act of deception.
Yeah.
That the writers just didn't come back to for a few weeks.
Right.
That's A. B, I don't understand why it's not much more believable to everyone that Jane Mancini decides would be losing money hand over fist.
Yeah.
Have you seen what she chooses to wear to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they have to make her a success, like, for character reasons, but it definitely would just make more sense for the building, for her to just be running the business into the ground, for sure.
Yeah, I would love it if they just called, like, Macy's at the Beverly Center. They'd be like, who? Oh, her. Blech. No way. Like, well, that's that then.
Yep. Back at the hospital later, Kimberly rides up in the elevator checking a patient's belly pain and learning that he's allergic to penicillin, at which she does a weird blink. And when Michael meets the gurney at their floor, she tells him it's probably a ruptured appendix and she will assist in the surgery. While the rest of the team leaps into action and Kimberly tells the nurse she'll file the papers, she actually steps into a patient room with his chart, takes a breath, and peels off the sticker noting his allergy. And after surgery, the patient's running a fever. Michael gives orders forbidding the nurse from looking at the chart because he's looked at it, which is when Kimberly appears from somewhere or other and sticks the penicillin allergy sticker back on it just in time for the patient to code. Dr. Levin orders the right drug and yells to ask who ordered ampicillin. Kimberly wouldn't know, and the nurse immediately dimes out Michael and how he wouldn't let her check the chart. And Dr. Levin orders a written report and forbids the nurse and Kimberly both from saying anything to Michael. And this is Dr. Levin's patient now, and he rants on clip 19.
I'll tell you one thing, doctor. If Mancini screwed up here, he's in serious trouble.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
It would and it wouldn't. It depends on who you're asking. After a commercial, a tax attorney is telling Jane that she does have the right to withhold some payments from Michael, but to justify it would take time and it's easier just to pay him and keep him out of her life. And she rolls her eyes, but seems to accept it. And at the hospital the day after the penicillin fuck up, Dr. Levin pulls Kimberly aside to say that the investigation is making things look very bad for Michael. He's surprised even Michael would be this sloppy. And Kimberly shrugs that everyone has bad days. Clip 20.
I was thinking, it's possible, you know, to remove a caution tag, then replace it later.
Yeah, but why would someone want to do that?
That's a question I'm not going to ask. As a matter of fact, I think I'll just send my findings along to the board.
As you're bound and honored to do.
You're a very complicated woman, Dr. Shaw.
Why, thank you, Dr. Levin.
I mean, I get how Kimberly is, like, his instrument in carrying out a scheme he didn't know he wanted carried out. But, you know, she did risk a patient's life in order to do it. So this is kind of not really okay, Dr. L. Dude, come on.
No. And I'm sure you'll work through your conflicts there with your hooker.
Good old Ingrid.
Yeah. So
Jane finds Kimberly napping on a couch in the lounge instead of the on-call room, which is what it is for. She was looking for Michael, but supposes Kimberly will do. Bitterly, Jane says she has Michael's $5,000 profit check, which, lol, and states that it's to keep both Michael and Kimberly away from her and her business. Kimberly chuckles that she's not Sydney. She doesn't give a damn about Jane and cheerfully pockets the check as Jane flounces out. And then a very hungover Michael after the bachelor party, which, as previously noted, oozes into all the storylines, staggering through his shift when Dr. Levin finds him and comments that he doesn't seem okay. Michael reports that the board has revoked his chief residency over the penicillin guy. Dr. Levin claims he was looking for Michael the night before to give him a chance to explain, but apparently Michael had more important things to do. Michael demands that Dr. Levin set the board straight or else he'll out Dr. Levin's relationship with Ingrid. But Dr. Levin knows the report was sent to the board by the legal staff, which is vigilant about potential malpractice cases. They won't listen to Dr. L, but he's not sorry to see Michael get justice right between the eyes. And then Kimberly finds Michael in the lounge, drinking in the dark, while on duty. He tells her about his demotion. She already heard, claims to be sorry. Offers to take him home and cook him dinner and then lick his wounds all night long. Ew. But none of that can even cure his melancholy. What about cash? She asks, pulling Jane's check out of her bra, queen, and saying that officially it's an accounting error. And he says Kimberly's phenomenal. And she says that when she wants something, nothing gets in her way. But for now, she has to get back to work. Putting the check back in her bra, she suggests opening a joint account with it. And he calls that a great idea. He's been meaning to suggest that. Sure he has. Uh-huh. She chuckles. And instead of going back to her shift, Kimberly drives to the back of a warehouse or something where a shady guy greets her as Miss Smith, and they have this exchange in our final clip.
You could understand. I don't like doing these things over the phone. So this guy you want to off, he's a doctor?
I've got $5,000.
Lady, I don't know who gave you my number, but a professional hit costs $50,000.
All right, maybe I can scrape together 10.
Sorry, lady. For that kind of money, you're better off doing it yourself.
And that's exactly what I'll do.
What?
She's going to need to get herself some poison in a small jar from Acne Supply Co.
Yeah. Some of that old skull and crossbones.
Yeah, you know the one. Yep.
Yeah.
So let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Once again, Kimberly, our queen, the greatest. Love her.
Yeah, I'm going to say Amanda.
Okay.
She should not have let this happen, but the fact that she took it out on Eeyore made it all worthwhile.
Oh, that's true. Yes, she did. She did dip low, but then she ended high. She finished strong for sure. Least valuable player. I'm going to say Jane. The manager at the body stocking who fired Sydney because she was a pain in the ass, but I bet she earned.
Yeah. Jane. Like, you're surrounded by people who are good at being villains. Take some notes. Next time on Again With This, it's the season finale in which Chaz sues D&D, Jake hypotenuses between Amanda and Joe, Allison runaway bride, Sid gets beat up and then hired for wet work by Kimberly, and Michael gets run over by a car, but blah, 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 blah. Get this. Matt has a plot line.
I know.
So, hike up that tool and sprint towards our visual aids, which we do for every single episode of Again With This. You'll find those on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. That's also where you'll find a link to buy our very special 90210 book, available in whatever format you like. To learn more, follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, or think lascivious thoughts about the Tom Cruise that is our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm the very wild and weird Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is delightful surprise, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is worth every penny. Talk to you next time.
I don't know what else to do.
Ha!